In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Well, good morning. As we know, last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday, and despite the boycott in New Orleans and the fact that it was a record low-scoring game, and quite frankly, a little on the boring side, 112 million people tuned in to watch the biggest football game of the year. But there's something else that happens a couple of months later where all of this begins, something called the draft day. And this is where NFL teams carefully select the best possible athletes they can find to build the best team they can build so that they may have a shot at competing in next year's Super Bowl. In today's gospel lesson, we hear the story of how Jesus kind of has his own draft day, how he begins to recruit and build up his own 12-man team. But here's the strange thing. Instead of going to the premier universities to recruit the five-star athletes, Jesus goes to the equivalent of an unaccredited school that doesn't even have a football team. And without even asking to see the recruits' resumes, Jesus points them out and says, "I choose you. Welcome to the team." And just to be clear, this is not the way things worked in those days. Rabbis didn't go around seeking out their own disciples. Rabbis waited for students to come to them, carefully interviewing each one of the candidates, only selecting the students with the most potential. No self-respecting rabbi would go out and recruit his own disciples. It just didn't work that way. And as we know, it doesn't work that way today either. But as we know, God rarely works in the boundaries and borders that we carefully construct for him. God's way of choosing and creating disciples looks very different from our way. Jesus came to the regular, ordinary people of the day, even to the outcasts and the marginalized, precisely because they weren't good enough, because they didn't make the cut. Over and over again in Holy Scripture, Jesus turns to the not good enoughs and says, "I choose you. Now follow me." In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is preaching and teaching to a large group of people when he notices two empty boats. And the reason the boats are empty, Luke tells us, is because Simon and his fishing partners have been out all night fishing without catching a single thing. And so they're cleaning their nets and they're preparing to go home for the day when Jesus stops them and asks them to do something very strange, to take their boats out again and to lower their nets. Now, when it came to fishing, Simon was an expert. Fishing is what he did to earn a living. And so this odd request from Jesus doesn't really add up. It doesn't make any sense. After all, Simon knew much more about fishing than some itinerant rabbi from the backwoods of Nazareth. But for whatever reason, with a little bit of pushback, Simon consents to the request. They take the boat out, lower the nets, and they catch so many fish that their nets begin to break and the boat begins to sink. And what's interesting about this is that Luke doesn't tell us that the fishermen do anything different this time around. No new nets, no special spot on the lake, no new technique or gimmick. Nothing is different from what they've been doing all night, except this time Jesus speaks to them and they do what he says. And the word Jesus speaks makes all the difference, because God's word always does what it says. Even when those hearing that word fall short or don't get it or just have a hard time believing it. There's a story about a young man who just completed his CPR and first aid training, and he was feeling really excited and confident about his newly acquired skills. And as he was driving home, he spotted an accident on the side of the road. And so he quickly pulled over and rushed to the scene of the accident. And when he got there, there was already someone tending to the injured person. And he pushed that person out of the way and said, "Please step back. I am certified in CPR and first aid." And with that, he began to minister to the injured person. Suddenly, he felt a tap on his shoulder from the very person he had pushed away, and a whisper in his ear. "When you get to the part where your training says, call a doctor, I'm right here behind you." I don't know about you, but I can definitely identify with that young man or with Simon in today's gospel, unintentionally pushing God out of the way and telling him, "Listen, I can handle this. This is my area of expertise. I've got this covered. I'll call you when I need you." But today's lesson reminds us that being a disciple means that we cannot do it alone. In fact, as soon as the boat is filled with fish, convicted of his self-centeredness and pride, Simon falls to his knees and begs Jesus to go away. Ironically, it's only when Simon is truly vulnerable and empty that he's able to be filled by Jesus and to receive God's grace. Up until that point, Simon had been too full of himself to allow God in. St. Augustine once said, "God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them." In other words, discipleship cannot happen until we're willing to let go of being right, of being in control, of doing things our way through our own expertise and strength. In my former life, before going into the ministry, I was a musician. I taught choir to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students in Waco, where I learned two valuable lessons. First, I came to believe that there truly is a special place in heaven for all junior high teachers, so I'm covered. But secondly, I learned the harder a singer tries to control his voice, the more he ends up losing control. I can still hear my voice instructor telling me, "Chad, you're trying to do too much with your voice, which is actually creating more tension. Relax. Let go. Get out of the way and quit trying to control the sound." And this isn't only true when it comes to singing. As a general rule, the harder we work to control things in our lives, the more we end up losing that control. The harder we try to impress someone in a conversation, the more we come across as pushy. The harder we cling to other people, the more apt they are to push us away. Instead, as the old saying goes, we're much better off letting go and letting God. But letting go doesn't mean being passive or inactive. It means placing our faith and trust in God and allowing Him to work in us and through us. There's an old story about a man who falls off a cliff, and he knows he's going to die, so he throws out one of his hands at the last second and grabs onto a branch, and he's miraculously saved. And he looks up and says, "Is anyone up there?" And he hears a voice respond, "Yes." "Well, who are you?" the man asks. "I am God, and I'm going to save you." "Wonderful," the man says. "Well, what should I do?" "Let go of the branch, and I will catch you." After a long pause, the man responds, "Is anybody else up there?" Sometimes we say that we trust in God, but we act as if everything depends upon us, that we must be in control of every single aspect of our life. It's no wonder that the way today's gospel lesson often gets interpreted is that these brave fishermen courageously left their jobs and their families and their friends to travel with Jesus into the unknown. And so if we want to be good and faithful disciples, we should be like them, and we should strive to do the same thing. But I don't think that's the point Luke is trying to make. That's not how discipleship works. The Christian author Barbara Brown Taylor says today's gospel lesson should be called The Miracle on the Beach. And I think she's exactly right. Because the story we read this morning about those first disciples isn't their story. It's not our story. It's not a story about changing our lives through our own courage and strength and work. Instead, like all miracles, it's a story about God. A God who has the power to walk up to a group of fishermen and work a miracle, creating faith where there was no faith, and creating disciples where there were none just a moment before. Today's gospel reminds us that discipleship is not about us choosing God, but about God choosing us. It's about the power of God to recruit people who have made one bad choice after another. It's about the power of God to sneak up on people like you and me and to change our lives forever. Today, may we remember that God loves us and meets us exactly where we are, whether we deserve it or not. And with God's grace, may we open our hands and may we open our lives so that God may transform us into the people and into the disciples we were meant to be. Amen.